Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, as we try to figure things out here. We can work it out, Hugh. We can work it out. Can the Eagles? That's the question.
Turn my mic on.
Can Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown work it out?
Hey,
they better.
I think they can.
Well, I'm glad BG did what he did last night. No hiding from it now. Figure it out. Sometimes you got to raise your voice to get some difference made. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop. We're going to replay for the Sirianni interview from this morning, as we do every week. Joe and John had it. And those two asked a lot of questions about the situation, how Sirianni is going to handle it, including will there be a team meeting in the next couple days. We'll bring that to you coming up a few minutes. First, let's go to the phone lines. Your reaction to Brandon Graham, the A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts situation. Diane in Pemberton. Hi, Diane. Diane? All right, we'll put Diane back on hold. We'll get her up. Anthony in Southwest Philly. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. How's it going with you? What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Ain't nothing, man. Hey, listen, I was cracking up earlier when you were talking to that guy at McDonald's, man. I was crying laughing.
He had to put his order on hold for us. Yeah,
he said, he had to yell at Joe. He had to yell at both of us,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hilarious, man. But, hey, man, listen, I think right now with the city, what we're going through as a city right now with the football team, man, I think it's sad. I've called into you guys. I've told you before, I'm a long-time sports guy. I played basketball all my life, including in college, overseas for many years. I had a, really good career. Came very, very close to pursuing my dream of making it to the NBA, but that didn't work out, exactly as I wanted it to. But I think it's sad because, growing up in my neighborhood, man, my grandmother used to have this old saying that used to say, act like you've been somewhere before. Act like you you've had something, and she used to say that a lot of times, man, when we used to go in their environments and, you got to be acting like you've been somewhere before. I had something, but, we as kids, we acting crazy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I'm sure you heard that same saying before, but I think for the city, man, right now, we got to act like, We gotta act like we've had something before, man. I listen to this radio show, and I'm a huge fan of y'all's show, the morning show.
Appreciate you,
Ice and Reese, and all, I'm a fan of it, man. But I think right now that the football team right now is in a position where, like you said, at the end of the day, they're either going to address this and get past it, or it's going to be a lingering thing, and you can't win in that way. I think with AJ, I'm going to just keep it all the way real. I've been on some teams, and I've been in some locker rooms, man. I'm telling you right now, with what he did, anybody that knows me that I've been on the team with, AJ could have been my best friend. I'd have been ready to punch him in his mouth. That would have been me. I've been on teams with guys that were like that. Because when you have a winning culture, when you've built something, and that don't happen overnight. And then you get to a position where you're this close to achieving the ultimate goal. And you, even though he just said passing, that's fine. You know that when you say that, whether you're talking about the offense as a whole or Jalen, you know where the attention is going to go to when you say that. So for him to do that, I would have taken very seriously what he said. I think Brandon Graham did it in his own way on the show last night, and I think Brandon was spot on. Yes, he should walk it back because he kind of put some things out there that a lot of people didn't know, which is the personal stuff and all that kind of stuff. But I think Brandon is at the point where he's looking at it like, man, y'all young guys, y'all in the way right now. At the end of the day, I'm on my way out, and this ain't going to be the end of my story. Y'all, young guys having this friction and all this going on, so let's get it cleaned up.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think at some he sat back for a while. He watched the two of them. Obviously, there's issues, and I think he felt he was compelled to say something. Anthony, good phone call. We appreciate it. I'm okay, and I think could be a good thing that Brandon spoke up last night. Sometimes you got to make a scene to make a difference, and he made a scene last night, and he walked it back a little bit, but There's no way they avoid it. All right, let's hear from Nick Sirianni. He was on this morning with Joe and John. Here's that conversation weighed heavily to about this situation, AJ, Jalen, their relationship, and how Sirianni is going to go fix it now. Here is Sirianni this morning with Joe and John.
Nick Sirianni. Nick, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Nick.
Hello, Nick. So Nick, let's, you know, obviously there's an awful lot going on off the field, but let's start with this reality. 9-game winning streak, 11-2, and congratulations to you and your squad. Fourth consecutive year making the playoffs, and of course the first Eagles coach of all time to make the playoffs in your first 4 years. By the way, also the first time since 2004 that the organization made the playoffs 4 straight years. So congratulations to you, Nick, and your squad on the 4th straight year in the postseason.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, that means something. That's for sure. It's hard to do that, but you know what? We enjoyed the moment for a moment, and then it's time to move on. We as coaches, we talked about that scene in Bull Durham, where he's like, "Hey, the moment's over, and let's go and let's keep going on." You know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm part of the movie I'm talking about.
I don't actually. I was too focused on Sarandon.
He makes a good pitch or has a good inning or something, and Kevin Costner tells him, "Hey, the moment's over. Now let's move on and keep getting better."
Gotcha. Well, here's where it gets complicated. Obviously, the moment from Sunday led to a lot. I mean, holy mackerel! I can't believe it. With so much going on, good. That, you know, your organization, your team, some of the players are in a firestorm right now. But that's what it looks like to me. So let me just start with this. Were you disappointed with AJ's comments Sunday after the game?
You know, I would hold back on firestorm. You know, it's that we had a game where we, as an offense, as a passing offense, didn't play to the standard that we're capable of and want to play to. And all I looked at was what happened after the game was guys, you know, saying, "Hey, we gotta be better." And so, and that's true. You know, we always are going to be honest with ourselves and say, you know, what we feel there, that we got to be better. And that was the case as our passing offense on a Sunday. But you know what? The main thing is to always win the football game, however, by any means necessary. So our defense played really good and got some stops, you know, when they needed to get stops, particularly on fourth down. Our run game and our offensive line really paved the way for that. The run game, the way it looked like, and Saquon and everybody involved, it takes the entire offense for the run game to look like that. And then also, you know, again, there was moments that we had in the past game that were really good, but, you know, we can be better as a whole. But I think that you saw us pass the ball well in the red zone for 2 touchdowns. Which is hard to pass down there, and our guys did a great job of executing that down there. We had a couple passes, you know, the 3rd and 13 in the 4-minute drill that we were in. I mean, that's a huge, huge play. And so there's positive lean on it. What was it up to our standard? No, you know, but you do everything you got to do to win the game that week, and we were able to win the game.
So here's the thing, Nick. I hear you on the you know, we got to be better. I get that, and I get that that's AJ's desire, but he pointed a finger at the quarterback. I mean, that is not good, and I got to imagine that creates a hell of a complexity for you as the head coach when the wide receiver points a finger at the quarterback.
Yeah, I didn't take it that way. And again, you guys can do anything and spin it any way, but I didn't take it that way. And I took it as we want to get better as a passing attack. AJ's part of the passing attack. And so we all want to be better at it. I want to be better at it. Jalen wants to be better at it. AJ wants to be better at it. And hey, Jalen and AJ are both really outstanding people and both really outstanding players. And so, and I love that our players are wanting to get better and desire to get better. And that's what we talk about all the time is how we get better and how we do things and be able to do some things that are special.
Nick, how concerned are you that infighting on your team could cause an unraveling similar to 2023?
I think what you know, again, there's going to be speculation of what things look like because you guys don't have all the, let's be honest, you guys don't have all the information.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
You don't get to see it on a daily basis. All I can judge this on, and this is very similar to, you know, when people are asking me about Jalen and I's relationship or whatever it was, like all I can judge things on is what I see on a daily basis. When I see, you know, AJ and Jalen communicating about the game plan, eating lunch together every single day, praying with each other before the game. Like, and so, like, there's going to be speculation, and I get it, you know, I get it, rightfully so, based on what's happened the last couple of days. But all you can do is judge what you see. Like, I have more information. I see them every single day. I see what's going on in the building. And so you just have, like, to me, you know, we know what there's going to be noise, and I get, and I obviously get it, you know, just based off of what's happened here in the last couple of days. But I go on my daily relationships with these guys, with myself. I go on the daily relationships that I see every single day that these guys spend 7 hours. Like, you guys get to see 3 hours of it every day, and then a little bit after, or pardon me, every week and a little bit, I get to see 7 or 8 hours of it every day. And so, and then I can say this, like, every week, after a game, we put up, I think it's one thing that I felt, okay, if you want to go back to last year, I felt like there wasn't joy sometimes after wins. And so one thing we talk about is just being able to celebrate together and how important that is. And so what we do is every Monday after the game, we show, you know, our celebrations together, right? After big plays and kind of a montage of that. And I see so much joy from this team, and there's, you know, we can say, hey, there's 23, based off what happened the last couple of days, hey, oh man, there's a little 2023 vibes. I see a lot of 2022 vibes, based off of the way I, you know, that kind of plays itself out. I mean, I just see joy. I really go back to Kenny Gainwell's touchdown against the Los Angeles Rams. You should have seen that sideline after he did that. The special teams has made a bunch of big time plays as a core unit, right? Like some big hits, and then we had one against Baltimore, and the joy that we're coming off of that. Like, I see those, and man, AJ and Jalen have celebrations that are on there quite a bit. Every time AJ scores, Jalen throws a touchdown to AJ. And so, you know, there's a little, you know, you can look at what you see in 1 week, but I'm looking at the big picture. And again, I see it as everybody wants to get better. I know there's room for an interpretation based off of some comments, but I can only go judge them based off of the things that I see on a daily basis.
Sure. Nick, you were a wide receiver yourself. Why does it seem like often the best wide receivers are also the ones who want to dominate so badly that they struggle to control their emotions about dominating so badly at times?
I love that about wide receivers. I've always loved that about, and let me just say this. I wasn't able to completely change a game the way AJ can change a game. And so, like, I don't know exactly the feeling that when you know that nobody can cover you in the world, like, listen, that wasn't me. So I don't have that same,
yeah, that must be pretty
perspective
cool
of it, but it's gotta be cool. But I think it's just, you know, that position, you know, you can, again, you know that you're in one-on-one matchups a lot, and there's a lot of one-on-one matchups. No, don't get me wrong, in the NFL, right? Sometimes it's, you know, two offensive linemen working to two guys, you know, but in receiver, you're out there by yourself, and sometimes you just get these one-on-one matchups, and you know you can beat the guy across from you, and you know you can change the game. And so I have never, and I've coached wide receivers a long time, I have never, ever looked at it as a negative that they want the football. And even if, you know, I want the football, I want the football. Gosh, I think that's a great trait to have. Nobody says that, you know, when Kobe Bryant wanted the ball at the end of the game, that, or Michael Jordan wanted the ball at the end of the game, that was a bad, like, that's a good thing. That's a good, because they're so confident, and they have to be, just like a defensive back has to be confident. And so when a wide receiver wants the ball, you know, I think that just shows you the confidence that he has. Now you got to do everything as far as the team in mind, no doubt about it. But I've never ever looked at it as a negative that they want the football, that AJ wants the football, because he knows he can change the game. And I know this, like, AJ is one of the best people that I've coached. Like, one of the best people. However you say that, I don't know the word people or person there. But he is a great, great person. I will say that. And I know we'll continue to get better. And, you know, AJ and Jalen, I'm grouping them both in there, are two of the best at their positions in the NFL. And the games have looked a little different this year with how we've won, but I have no doubt about it that we are going to need our passing game to, you know, win us a game and win, you know, help us move the chains like it always does. And it's just looked different at times this year.
Yeah, Nick, the only thing I'll say, the Kobe analogy and all that works for me, except Kobe and Shaq broke up. You know what I mean? I mean, they did. They broke up because
Michael and Scottie didn't.
Well, yeah, but their friendship has. But they got six titles. They got six titles in.
Michael and Scottie. That gets weird. That gets weird, Nick.
That did get weird. All right.
No, hold on.
Sure, go ahead, John.
How did the Panthers unsynchronize the offense, to use Jalen's word? And how does the team keep everything synchronized moving forward?
Yeah, every game's a little different. I won't get into the secrets of what we felt like they did to stop this or stop that. I know that we ran the ball very effectively, and sometimes the amount of runs that you have and the amount of attempts you have in the pass game, right, are different, the way the game's being played. You know, Jalen still had a 110 quarterback rating. I mean, how many guys had that last week? I know the ball wasn't in the air a lot, because of the way the game was played out. There was a lot of things that were very efficient in that game there. And so, again, you go out and you try to win every single game. I know this is super cliche, but you go out and try to win every single game. Every game calls for a little different approach as coaches, as players. And the main thing was that we won, and we did that.
Nick, what about the kicking situation? I know yesterday you said you're pretty locked into Jake Elliott, but I mean, in a week or two, if this doesn't pick up, you got to be concerned, right?
You know, we take it one day at a time. Every single time, I can't look ahead and say if this doesn't happen, because the amount of things that you could say, well, if this doesn't happen, if that doesn't happen, I mean, there's a lot of things like that, and so. I know that it takes everybody in the kicking game. It takes the operation, it takes the snap, it takes the hold, it takes the protection, it takes the kick, right? And so, you know, it's never just in this game. I know that it's always, you know, want to be able to assign blame or do this, but in this game, it is a true, the best team sport there is. That's why I love it so much. And it takes everybody. And so, we all got to be better as a whole, and I have like so much confidence in Jake. Again, excuse me. You know, you get to see, you know, 3 hours each week, right? I get to see it in practice over and over and over and over again. Again, why do we run certain play or a certain defense in a game? Because you think that's what's going to work. That's part of the game plan, but you build confidence in it. excuse me, as practice goes, and then. You know, it's the same thing in the kicking game. So, like, got a ton of confidence in him. I know that he's been a special player. You know, as you look at it this year, he's done some really good things this year and has had some unfortunate misses. You know, had one blocked as well, which isn't on him. And so, again, confidence is built through the success of games and what happens in practice. And I still have a ton of faith. Confidence in Jake Elliott.
Now, your confidence is important for him to gain confidence. Like, his confidence is what I'm so concerned about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And then moments where it's time to kick. You know, I will. I'll have utmost confidence in him. That doesn't mean we don't go for it when I feel like we should go for it or punt it when I feel like we should punt it. Every game, like again, you go into every game and you have your. Hey, this is what I'm going to do in this scenario. But every moment of each game calls for a different, like, you have to have a baseline. Here's what I'm doing here. Here's what I'm doing here. And this is in every situation in the game, not just field goal kicking. But you have to have a baseline there and then react to how the game's going, how the opposite quarterback's playing, how your defense is playing, how the wind is. Like, there's so many things that play into it. I wish I could get into everything with you on all those situations. It'd be fun. It'd be a fun conversation to be able to explain all that. Obviously, for competitive reasons, I won't. But it does start, like you said, it does start with the confidence that you have in your kicker And I have a ton of confidence in Jake Elliott.
All right, Nick, one final thing here. So, you know, with what we were discussing at the start of this conversation, does what has occurred lead to a meeting that you hold with AJ and Jalen? And does the entire situation in light of Brandon stepping in and making his comments last night lead to a team meeting next time you guys reconvene?
We team meeting every day. I talk to these guys every day. I talk to these guys in groups every day. So I talk to these guys all the time about whatever's going on in their lives, whatever's going on in the team. That's part of the connection that you're trying to build. And why is connection so important? Connection's so important in moments like where you feel like, okay, it didn't go as planned. Connection's so important in moments like, okay, maybe from the outside world, they think this or they think that. That's why connection's so important when you're in a winning streak, when you're in a losing streak. Connection's the key. Like, it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. And so we're constantly working on that as a team. And if I want our guys to work on their connection with each other, then it starts with me, and they got to see me connecting with them first. And so that's a constant. I'll spend an hour or so on the phone today with different guys like I do every Tuesday.
All right, there it was this morning, Nick Sirianni with The Morning Show, and a lot of that, Hugh, I'd say 90% of it was about the situation we're discussing today and Brandon Graham last night. Hugh, a couple things hit me from him. One, he alluded to, and of course he sees them more than we do, right? And mm-hmm. he feels like they're fine based on his interactions with them. All right, but we do have all this to react to. And then he said no team meeting because he feels like they do that enough. But Hugh, I do think at some point it'd be good if they all talk this out. Like, I don't know if it has to be a big team meeting thing, but maybe.
Just come to Jesus moment.
Yeah, conversation between the coach, the quarterback, and the receiver.
They probably will, because I think there was a lot at play here. Like, again, I go back to the play that was missed. Let's just call it a touchdown.
The one that they threw the flat second, to Dotson. Yeah,
the Dotson play, I think that was
second
missed.
Play of the game, yep.
I think there's a lot going on. And AJ is a competitor. And when you are used to competing at a high level and you're not, and you feel like you're not contributing, that's kind of tough for him. You know, because, you know, he's probably looking at the stat sheet and he's not showing up in the stat sheet like he used to. That's an adjustment. Like I said, I haven't played with a receiver that has been worth his weight in gold that didn't want the football. Like, that's what the good ones do.
And you find a way.
Like, that's the one, the receiver position as a whole, it's probably the most volatile position on any football team. That's just the way that they're made. They're individuals, because even though it's a team sport, it's the one position that is predicated on one-on-one. Like, that's the one-on-one. Like, when you see them receivers out there talking trash because they cooked somebody or they caught a ball, I mean, that's where the trash talking comes from.
They live on their own island.
They're on an island.
Yeah, they are.
So when you are a guy that has been used to being the tip of the spear, the focal point, and then all of a sudden you have to take the back seat to somebody. He's done a tremendous, I'll say this to that. So far this year, he's done a tremendous job of keeping his emotions in check.
Until Sunday. He slammed the helmet.
And what happened Sunday?
Well, they didn't play well.
Well, and Saquon Barkley broke the rushing record.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but here's my reaction to that. He's got to get over it. This year's team is this year's team.
I mean, it's not a good look. I will say this. I don't want to change anything about A.J. Brown. I don't want to change anything about his competitive spirit. I mean, he could probably tone it down as far as his attitude goes. But damn it, you know how I fix that? Throw him the football.
Well, you can, but the run game is their bread and butter.
I'm not getting away from the run game.
Yeah, there's a lot here.
I'm just throwing him. I'm throwing football.